put a little, you know, let the blood go back into your muscles, you know.
That's kind of like your equivalent of doing a plank, but for your embouchure. Yeah.
Interestingly, from the point of view of the way our brain works, actually vision is a higher priority to our brain than sound.
But as we all know, you know, intonation is not a spectator sport.
But that's where the gems are, right? That's where the little magic things that unlock your progress are. G'day, it's Nigel here. Welcome back to the Sax School Online Podcast. In this episode, we're discussing our favorite and most effective sax warm-ups that don't take loads of time. Plus, we'll be sharing our go-to warm-ups that we use to quickly get back in shape after a break. And joining me today from the Sax School Tutor Team, Fred Vigder and Joel Purnell. G'day, fellas. How are you doing today?
Hi. Hello. Hi. Hi.
Hi. Hey, real quick, if you do love learning how to play saxophone better and you enjoy the podcast, if I could just ask you to share it with one other person, it would really mean the world to us. It would just help us to reach more friends like you. So, warm-ups, great topic for today. They're so often neglected, but any pro player will tell you just how important they are, especially if you're short on time. So, we've been doing this for decades, and I thought it would be useful today to share our warm-up favorites to make the learning process a little bit shorter for you. So I'm looking forward to digging into that and helping you to really make the most of every practice session. But before we do that, I'd like to know what you guys are up to. So Joel, what's been going on in your life the last week or so?
Oh, well, I've been doing some practice as always, and I've been focusing on a piece of repertoire by the sax player Mark Turner. It's called Lonnie's Groove, and it is horrible, absolutely horrible. It's like the best technique workout ever. It goes through the full range from kind of low B flats and C's very quickly, by the way, right up into altissimo G sharps and B flats, all in 5/4 and relentlessly in 5/4 through the entire thing. So rhythmically, it's really challenging. Technically, it's challenging. It's just challenging, but I love stuff like that. I love finding things where when I try and play the first bar of it, I just can't even play the first bar, and I know that if I work on that for long enough, then I'm going to improve. So that's what I've been up to. But there's a great version on YouTube with Kurt Rosenwinkel. It's off one of his albums as well. But the Kurt Rosenwinkel and Mark Turner version on YouTube is spectacular. Amazing.
Cool. I love working on things like that too.
Joel lives for the struggle. I just wanted to say that.
It's true, I do. I love it.
But that's where the gems are, right? That's where the little magic things that unlock your progress are. When you try to play something that's just, at the start, so impossibly difficult, and then, you know, a couple of weeks down the track or a couple of months down the track, you realize, oh, I can play some of that. So that's a sign that we're actually developing. Yeah, I love that. I'll have to. Could you send me over a link to where I can check that out? I'd love to have a listen.
Maybe we can put it in
the show notes for this this episode as well. What about you, Fred? What's been driving you crazy this last week?
Well, I'm not doing anything nearly as challenging as Joel. I'm just reading a book, although that can be challenging as well. I'm reading Stanley Crouch's book called Kansas City Lightning, which is the rise and times of Charlie Parker. Stanley Crouch is an African-American writer who co-founded the Jazz at Lincoln Center program with Wynton Marsalis, and used to be a writer for the Village Voice. And this is interesting because, well, it's about Charlie Parker. It's not quite what I expected because it doesn't, it gets into his life in Kansas City and maybe a brief period of when he came to New York for the first time and then went back to Kansas City. And it ends there. And it talks more about his influences in Kansas City and the culture of the whole music scene in Kansas City and all the people that he grew up with. And he interviewed Bird's wife and anybody that he could find. So it's a really in-depth study into how he became who he was way before anybody had discovered him. It's really, really interesting. Not what I expected. There's supposed to be a part two where he does deal with Bird's rise and all that, but he hasn't even met Dizzy Gillespie or any of those characters. So it's just a different take. I'm really enjoying it.
Wow, that sounds fascinating as well. I think it's really fun to learn those back stories about the players that we love. I think it helps us to understand a little bit about the way they think and what and to imagine what their experiences might have been like as well. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds a lot more, artsy and educational and dedicated than my practice. What I've been working on this last week or so, apart from Weekender things, I've even put my Weekender shirt on this morning just to get me in the mood from our last Weekender. So I'm still working on Weekender music because that's coming up in about 6 weeks or so now, our annual, actually biannual live get-together for our Sax School members where we get people from all around the world to come and join us for 4 days. So busy writing music for that. I've also been working on some intonation things. Over the last few weeks, actually, been working on a transcription that I did of a Nigel Hitchcock classical piece. And it goes into some real altissimo stuff, but with big leaps we were going up there. And I'm struggling to get some of those notes in tune. So I guess it kind of ties in a bit with what we're talking about today with warm-ups, because I'm actually working on intonation in my warm-ups and applying that to the altissimo stuff. And the other thing that I've been doing, which is fun, is Fred, you told me about that Back Pocket Grooves app recently, and I've been really getting into that. Pretty cool and very, very handy. So if you haven't checked out Back Pocket Grooves, I definitely suggest that. By the way, I only use it on my phone. Do you use it on an iPad as well or just on your phone?
Yeah, you can use it on any iOS device. And, you know, you can change the keys and change the – you can add segments. And it's a very cool little app. It's somewhat limited, but it's got some really cool grooves. That's the thing I like about it most. Really good funky grooves.
What I like about it, actually, yes, it is limiting, Fred, because it's not like maybe using session band or band in a box, but the grooves themselves are very good.
Yeah.
And so it's quite inspiring to just jam along with. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it.
Okay, so let's dig into this topic of warm-ups and our favorite warm-ups. So these are the things that all of us go to in our daily practice. I tell you what, I'll get started because I've got a favorite warm-up that I've been working on for quite a while. In fact, you know what actually inspired me to start exploring this style of warm-up was an interview that we did for Sax School with Jeff Kashua. Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, actually. And it's something that he told me that he works on all the time. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. I feel like I should be working on that too. And so I do. Really, what my warm-up is all about is focusing on the low notes first. So starting on the low B flat, B natural and C. And working in octaves and fifths from that first note. The idea is really to get a great sound that I'm happy with and in tune on the low notes. And then trying to keep my embouchure set as I'm playing those low notes and then moving up in intervals up my range without really changing my embouchure. So obviously you need to make little changes in the back of your mouth with your tongue, whatever, but trying to really keep my embouchure set so that I'm minimizing that movement as I move up and down the range. And that really helps with things like I mentioned earlier that I've been working on where there's lots of leaps and I'm going up into the altissimo, that kind of thing, because there's less movement happening now. So the way I do this is I put a drone on using a tuner like Tonal Energy Tuner. And if I was starting on my B flat, I would put a drone on that is for that B flat tone. So the equivalent, that's right. Let's say if I'm on alto, it's a B flat. Sounds the same as my B flat on the alto. And then I'll play a nice long note in the low B flat. And then I'll do the octave B flat and back to the low B flat. Then I'll go up to the second octave F, back to the low B flat, and then the third octave B flat. And then back to the low B flat and then keep working my way up the range. And then if you want to add an extra layer onto this, the next thing that I like to do is that whole process again, but then incorporating as well an overtone note. So I'll do my low B flat, then I'll do my second octave B flat, and then I'll play the overtone, so fingering low B flat, but getting that second octave B flat out, and then back to the low B flat, and then up to the F, and do the F as an overtone, and so forth and so on. So it's a great exercise, and if I spend 5 to 10 minutes doing that, it really opens everything up for me, and it dials in my tuning, and it dials in my sort of mouth position, which really helps me to feel comfortable. What about you, Joel? What's your favorite go-to?
Well, I have a few different ones that I like to do, but at the moment, the one that I've been enjoying doing as a warm-up, I'm a big fan of taking these kind of exercises, which are just meant really for one thing, they're to warm you up. But if you can get cram some extra learning in there while you're at it, a bit of multitasking, then I think that goes a long way as well. So the one I've been doing recently is I've been taking the different triads that you get through a major scale. So for example, in the key of C major, the C triad, D minor, E minor, F, G, A minor, and the B diminished triads. And I've been playing them as what are called open voicings. So I've been playing the root, then the fifth, and then the third, so for example, low C, and then the G above it, and then the E above that, and then working through those in order. This is great. It does some similar things to your version, Nigel. I end up practicing a fifth at the beginning, and then I'll get some major six and minor six, and then at the end, I always play down the octave. So basically, I go root, fifth, third, and then third the octave below, and then that leads me to the next note in the sequence. And I'll just do a couple of keys a day with that and either use a tuner with that, or I also really like, which I think really helps orally as well, I like to put on what's called a dominant drone. So if I'm doing it in the key of C, then I'll put on a G drone, a nice low G drone under it. So you're kind of pitching relative to something rather than kind of thinking about the green light on the tuner, if that makes sense. But I really enjoy that exercise. It gets you playing some big intervals. And also, what I like about it is they're usable because you're connecting them with structures that you might use in improvisation as well. So that's the one I've been doing recently.
Yeah, I love that. So just so I can get that clear in my mind. And by the way, everybody, we'll make a PDF available for this with our favorite warm-up so that you can try them out yourselves. And that's going to be available over at saxicalonline.com/podcast. Just navigate to this episode, episode number 2. So just to be clear then, Joel, you are, let's say, starting in the key of C and you're doing the C major triad 1, 5, 3, and then you're doing the D minor. And then E, F, G, working up that way, up the scale. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And going all the way up. Obviously, as you do it in different keys, try and start with the triad that you can kind of fit lowest on the instrument if you can. So if I was doing it in the key of F, I'd probably try and start with the B flat major triad, triad 4 of F major. So I'm using my full range, and if I'm feeling particularly warmy uppy, if you like, then I'll continue that right up into the altissimo range as well.
Wow, fantastic. So Fred, what about you?
Yes.
What's your favorite go-to warm-up?
Well, mine actually ties in with both of yours in a way. I like to use the TE tuner, the tonal energy tuner, but I use it a little differently than a lot of people do, and that is that I do it with my eyes closed, because like Joel was saying, a lot of people are kind of obsessed with the green tuner, and you're adjusting, and you but as we all know, you know, intonation is not a spectator sport. It's not a visual art. It's all about your ears. So what I do is, and you can do this with pretty much any of the warm-ups that you guys have been talking about, is you close your eyes, play your exercise, and when you think you're in tune, then open your eyes and see where you are on the tuner. So you're not constantly looking and adjusting and all that. You're trying to get the feel of what it sounds like when you're in tune. And I feel like this helps with pretty much any of the warm-ups. And I have when we get to the next segment, I'll tell you about a warm-up that you can use to really supercharge this.
Awesome. I think we should have that printed on Saxical shirts. Intonation is not a spectator sport.
But you know, everybody thinks that I said this before, it's like at the Olympics and you've got a judge and you know, and he's telling you what the you know what your numbers are, and it's not about that. It's you have to learn what it sounds like when you're playing in tune, not what it looks like.
Yeah, I love it. So hey, just a quick reminder too that if you do want to improve your sax playing this this year, remember that you know to go ahead and follow the podcast so that you don't miss out on any of the future episodes. We've got some really fun ones planned for you that are coming up. And hey, if you've got a spare minute and you're just wondering what you're going to do with your spare time and you're feeling inspired, you could leave us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it, wouldn't we? That would be awesome.
Sure.
You'd make us very happy.
Always.
Okay, so we're humans, just like everybody else. Occasionally we take a holiday and maybe put our saxophones down for a couple of weeks. And then we've got that pain, is that the right word? When you come back to playing and you've got to try and get your skills back in shape. That's always a challenging thing to do as a saxophone player, or probably for any instrument too. But I've got certain things, I'm sure you guys do, that I like to do to get myself quickly back in shape. And I think that's an important thing to share with you guys listening today as well, because maybe this will give you some ideas of things that you could do. So for me, I'm going to be greedy and jump in first. Whenever I find myself in that situation, you know, the thing that I love doing the most that actually I find gets me up and running quickly is using something like that, Back Pocket Grooves app that I mentioned before. And simply spending time in my practicing, working on blowing over a simple groove. So there's probably two things I do. The first thing is that, playing over a groove. So it could be over a blues. It could just be over a single chord groove. And I'm taking time just improvising. I'm being very mindful about my timing, because the thing that I find I need to really dial back in when I've had a break is that. It's getting my flexibility around my range and my sense of feel and time. So keeping it really simple and just focusing on grooving over a groove. The second thing I work on is I put a heavy focus on intonation. So lots of interval practice, working with a tuner or with a drone, and trying to really dial that in. So what about you, Joel? What's the thing that gets you back in shape quick?
I always really like to just do some really free, open improvisation. So I basically maybe think about a couple of tonalities, maybe a couple of modes, maybe a couple of chords, whatever I fancy, whatever pops into my head. I'm a bit kinder to myself, I think, Nigel, than you're straight into it with the tuner. I just like to kind of find my inspiration again from that point of view. So I just stand there, I shut my eyes, and I listen to myself playing the saxophone with a focus on really getting across my range. So I'm just getting used to all that and the pitching and all that kind of stuff, and just trying to find the beauty in it again and reconnecting with the instrument. And then I'll do maybe a similar thing to you mentioned. I'll probably just put on a tune and I'll play a tune, and I use that to really kind of make sure, once again, that my timing's up to spec again, and also my intonation, that contextual intonation when you're playing along with a backing track. I always try and make sure it's a real backing track, you know, like an Abasold or something like that, where it's an actual band on there rather than a kind of something like that. So I'm just getting that negotiation of tuning back and really listening to it. And once again, it's enjoyable. I'm rediscovering probably an old tune that I've not played for a while. So those two things for me just kind of get me going again, and then I'll get back into my usual routines and my tuning triads and whatever it is I'm working on, my next Mark Turner head.
Brilliant. What about you, Fred? What's your secret go-to exercise?
Well, I noticed that, you know, we'll probably all agree on this, that the first thing that I'm going to feel if I haven't been playing for a while is right here, you know, the actual muscles. So what I do is, and you can do this with pretty much any long tone exercise, and I included this exercise that I call a pivot point exercise in the PDF, and it basically, you start on middle D, and you go down a half step, and then you go back up to middle D, and then you start on middle D again, and then you get down another, now a whole step, you're all the way down from, till you're playing basically an octave from middle D to low D. But the secret to this, and like I said, you can use any warm-up, any long tone exercise, the secret to this is not taking the mouthpiece out of your mouth while you're doing this. Breathing through your nose. So keeping your embouchure engaged the entire time. And what it's hard to do at first because you're so used to taking, you know, to breathing through your mouth when you do this. But it really gets, you can really feel those muscles. It kind of supercharges whatever kind of long tone exercise you're doing, because you're not giving yourself a break. And then, you know, when you really start to feel that burn, as they say, you could, you know, put a little, you know, let the blood go back into your muscles, you know, get that, you know, going back again, and then start where you left off. And you'll find that it'll really get things back into shape a lot sooner than just doing, you know, normal long tone exercises.
That's kind of like your equivalent of doing a plank, but for your embouchure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think it's really interesting how different it is for all of us, you know, what we feel that we need to do when we come back to the saxophone. I think that's really important to point out. We all have our different struggles when we come back to the instrument after a break. Some people's embouchures feel a bit tired, some people's breathing, some people's intonation. So it's really just about finding something that gets you back into playing, isn't it, at the end of the day.
And it's great when you've got those things in your pocket that you know do help you, because that speeds up the whole process. Yeah, fantastic. I hope that's all been helpful for you. And don't forget that we have got the PDF with those exercises we've mentioned today, and that's available at saxschoolonline.com/podcast. Just navigate your way to episode number 2. Our member question this week is from Simon Lee, and he sent in this.
Hi, Nigel. I'm finding that a lot of my notes are out of tune. So my question is, which note should I be getting in tune to start with before then trying to adjust the other notes, tuning through, you know, lip pressure and that sort of stuff? Thanks very much.
Okay, I think this is actually a great question from Simon, and I do think there's probably more than one answer to it depending on what your frame of reference is as a saxophone player. But hey, Joel, have you got some tips for Simon on this one?
Sure. Now, you'll hear loads of different kind of opinions on what the best note to tune to on the saxophone is. Some people think that using the open tubes are a better way of doing it. Personally, what I feel for this kind of thing is I like to tune to a G on the saxophone, whichever G it is, the saxophone G, not a concert G, just because it's right in the middle of the tube. And this is really the point for me, it's probably one of the first notes you ever learnt to play. And for that reason, I think it's probably one of the notes you feel most naturally relaxed on, because that's what the saxophone is all about. It's about being relaxed, relaxed in your embouchure, relaxed in your posture. Everything's about being relaxed. So picking a note that is really familiar, I think, is a great idea. So I tend to just play along G. However, this is the key thing when it comes to tuning up, which was part of the question. Fred's touched on this already. Don't trust your eyes. So I like to do what I call a blind tune-up. So I put my tuner on, I'll pick this note that's most comfortable to me, so in my case this G, and I'll shut my eyes and I'll just blow it as naturally as I possibly can. And I'll, for a while, you know, like a long tone. And when I feel really comfortable and I think I'm settled, then I'll open my eyes and I'll immediately clock whether that pitching is sharp or flat. I stop, I adjust the saxophone, I shut my eyes and I repeat. And I will do this for 10 minutes if necessary to make sure that when I open my eyes and I see that I'm in tune, I'm doing that in the most natural way possible on the instrument. And then from that point on, go for it. Keep your eyes open, play those other notes if you're going to work with a tuner, but at least you know that initial place where you've started is in tune, it is natural, and now everything's in context of that. I think otherwise what tends to happen is you think, right, I'm going to tune up to this note, you put on that tuner, you blow the note, it's red or whatever colour it goes when it's out of tune, and you tend to just react to it. You know, it's one of your senses, and you'll react, that visionary sense will react, and it'll change your pitching. Interestingly, from the point of view of the way our brain works, actually vision is a higher priority to our brain than sound, unfortunately for us. So we do tend to react to what we see, and that might mean that we end up biting to get that note in tune. Now every note we play, we'll have to bite on. So I think that what I call the initial blind tune-up routine is super important on a really natural note for you, and then you can crack on and work on your tuning.
So if you'd like to revisit the episode today, you can get the full transcription from the whole show today, episode number 2, and that's going to be over at saxschoolonline.com/podcast.
And if you're not already a Sat School member, then check out satschoolonline.com. There's absolutely loads of stuff in there that's going to get you going with saxophone. Thousands of lessons.
Absolutely. There's so much going on there every single week. We'd love to see you in there. And Fred, what have we got coming up next week?
Well, Nigel, I'm glad you asked. Next time, we are going to talk about what it's like as a touring musician, something I know a little bit about, and hope you can join us.
I hope so, too. I'm looking forward to that conversation, actually. But for now, thanks so much for joining us, and keep practicing hard. We'll catch you next time.